And welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap-Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about Season 10, Episode 15 of 90 Day Fiancé Proper, the OG. I'm, of course, your host and conductor of the Hot Mess Express, Puizan Vakili, ready to break things down for you all. Now, I recognize out the gate that we are recording this a little bit later than maybe we would have usually, but you know what they say, better late than never, especially knowing that after this episode, there's one more, and then we're off for the Super Bowl week. So you're going to get a double feature back-to-back before we go on a longer break there. But my guest this week is someone who is not unfamiliar with these streets, but might have a new nickname, Mr. Elusive, Mr. Sought After, Mr. Everything going on right now at the same time. He is, of course, in the midst of launching his own podcast. It is the one and only, the host of the Recap Kickback, Mr. Chappelle. Chappelle, how you doing?
Puya, thank you for having me. I'm doing well. I do want to apologize to the 98 Fiancé fans and all your listeners because we had to record this late because I've been very busy, as Puya said, unrolling this like new podcast thing that I'm doing called Recap Kickback, and Puya has been helping me with that. So I've been very busy, but I've also been taking your boy away from his post for a little bit. So now that I think both of us can take our feet off the gas just a pinch, we can talk about 98 Fiancé. So I'm very happy to be here.
Very happy to have you, Chappelle. Yeah, we're going to have fun here today talking about these couples. Feels like we're on the heels of the show coming to an end. Everyone's getting closer and closer to those wedding dates. And we definitely have some turbulence to talk about with these couples before they tie the knot.
Mm-hmm. But I haven't been keeping up with this season very closely. So I'm very excited that it feels like this episode, I got to breathe a little bit. This is the like engagement party, wedding dress shopping type episode. Like, okay. Normally, I'm like, oh, it's boring. I didn't get no drama. But there had been so much drama before this that I was like, okay, I get kind of like a little reprieve. So there's a little mess to talk about. But I also like getting to celebrate these people when they're happy. And we did get to see a lot of happiness in these episodes.
We really did. And I feel like it's hard not to be happy when you get that close to the wedding, especially when you're surrounded by friends and family on top of everything. So we're going to kick it off by first going to Ashley and Manuel, who are 3 days away from their destination wedding. And they're setting off to go celebrate with their family and friends before they get married. And the fun part of all this is that, might I say, Manuel had a relatable moment to open the episode where Ashley's doing like a vlog, getting ready for everything. She's a selfie camera recording. She's like, yeah, and there's Manuel on the couch. He's sad because his team is losing. And he's like, yeah, they're losing 1-0 right now. I was like, I know someone who is very sad about a different football this past week.
Oh, yeah. Football Americano was whooping my ass last week. I have not talked about nor seen anything football related because I mute all of these people who enjoy the sport. I don't know. I thought we were protesting this. I thought we were boycotting this. What did Colin Kaepernick kneel for? Why are we talking about football? So, yeah, I get it. I totally understand. Even like days before your wedding, there's no heartbreak like sports heartbreak.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're especially in the thick of it, and for someone like you who is very on top of it socially as well, constantly talking about it, celebrating it. I feel like there's a lot of people praying for your downfall. And the minute that happens, they're coming out the woodwork ready to, I told you so, you.
Yeah, there are very few teams that I bash openly because I try not to bring any bad karma. I think everybody wants their team to do well. And I know sports heartbreak is a mother sucker, you know? And so I don't want to wish that on anybody except for like 4 or 5 teams. Actually, I have a list of like 9 football teams that I just dislike. But again, I don't openly root against anybody's team because I don't want my phone ringing when my team finally loses. And so when Manuel is sitting here, like kind of, I don't know if he's playing a game or watching the game, whatever the case may be, when his wife asked him like, oh, you sad because y'all team is losing? I felt that in my soul because I'm like, yes, I'm sad and please don't talk to me.
I think the only way that could have gone sideways is if she was like, it's just a game.
Woo! I would have had to get up and walk out. You want to talk about, like, shut it down. We're 3-4 days before the 90 days is up or whatever. Like, I'm leaving. Start it over. Start it over. I'm going back to what, Ecuador? I'm leaving right now.
Yeah.
See ya. Peace.
I'm good. Yeah. Well, thankfully that didn't happen. We do see, you know, everyone's going to be pulling up to the destination wedding, except for her friend's husband, Alicia's husband, Solly, isn't coming. And that's because Solly and Manuel have butted heads in the past. And Solly fully recognized that he was going to end up being a bit of a dick at the wedding. So he's not going to do it.
Yeah, but Solly and Ashley, they go way back. She says they've been poor together. They've made money together. They've had friendships that they've lasted so long. It's really bothering her that her friend can't be there for their big day. And so she's trying, in her mind, trying to figure out, like, how do I make amends between, you know, her fiance and one of her closest friends? On the flip side of things, though, Puya, she only has one person who she thinks probably won't be at the function. But Manuel only has one person. I think his best friend is showing up, and literally none of his family, his kids, anybody else is going to the destination wedding.
No, Manuel has exactly one person, Jonathan, who we have met before. Jonathan, who had to sit at the cafe while these two had sex in the bathroom. And we find out later, not to jump ahead, but we find out later in the episode that they had to bring Manuel in on their bachelorette party plans because Jonathan was passed out somewhere. So by the time they get to the club, he has nobody. He has zero people on his side.
Yeah, Manuel and Jonathan were smacked. I saw very early on in the episode that these two people were drunk. They were living their best life. And you got to remember, these things are a marathon, not a sprint. You know, you got to save yourself for the nighttime. You can't just gas yourself out drinking and partying and doing all the cool stuff before you get to the club. So, yeah, Jonathan did not make it. And so by the end, Manuel is just by himself. And we see him struggle with that a couple times throughout the episode.
Yeah, he definitely was having a tough time here. So they are having is this a boat party or a yacht party? I'm not very familiar with the sea vessels of the world, so I don't know which one it is, but it was a party on a boat.
Yeah, it didn't feel like a yacht, but it was like, you know, I'm on a boat, you know, that kind of thing. And it looked like fun. You know, there was drinking, there was dancing, everybody was having a good time. But then you start watching Manuel, and it just slowly starts to sink in that his family is not there and that he's kind of doing this on his own, you know, with the exception of Jonathan when Jonathan's around. But Puya, I think this is a relatable feeling for someone like me who enjoys a good party, because I like to drink. But sometimes the drunk emotions seep in.
Yes.
Like, everybody around you is having fun. You should be having fun. But for some reason, you let that intrusive thought about what could be better, like, seep into your mind. And then you just kind of have to sit in that moment of, I'm drunk, I'm supposed to be happy, and I just cannot be happy because the one thing that would make this perfect is not there, and it is ruining my time. And so even Ashley's friends start to peep that Manuel is having a bad time, and they send Ashley over to talk to him.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, being in a high energy party environment is a good time. Doesn't matter whether you know people or not. If everyone's buzzing, if everyone's jumping up and down, dancing, taking shots, like, you're feeling good in that environment if that is something you're into. And I think Manuel's into that. Like, he's definitely shown to be having fun at a party. But I think the drunker he got, the more he looked around and he's just seeing those isolated moments of Ashley hugging her sister, Ashley hugging her friends. And they're all laughing. They all know each other. They're making jokes. And that's when he realizes, where's that for me, right? Where are my kids? Like, I wish my kids were here. I wish my family was here. And we've seen the biggest part of Manuel's story be the entire saga with wanting to send money back to his family. And, you know, he kept that private from Ashley in the beginning of not really opening up about his family to her. But now she has been able to get in on a Zoom call and, like, meet them. So I feel like things are going in a good direction with these two, but my heart did break for him because ultimately he's in a position where he's about to get married with none of his family anywhere close to being there with him.
Yeah, there's something to be said about loneliness, and it's our brain's way of motivating us to reach out and build a support system, and how that, you know, your natural instinct is to surround yourself with people that you like, or that you love, or that are even just pleasant, or just be around people. But sometimes you can feel lonely in a room that is crowded, you know, and it's in that moment, it's where you start thinking about connections that you wish you had, or, you know, you start thinking about, what about the other things that they have that you don't have? And you start to compare yourself, and you start to look at Ashley and even maybe even resent her and say, man, She has all these nice things around. And I don't even have my kids around, you know? And so I felt so bad for him in that moment, because this is right before your wedding. You don't want to have these thoughts.
No, absolutely not. It's a tough place to be. Now, real quick, let's rewind to the before they get to the boat. And we've got Ashley's mom calling in to talk to him. And she's like, yeah, I've been brushing up on my Spanish. And then it went from hola, mom, to hola, son. So how many babies do you want? I was like, where's the Spanish? We got no Spanish. Hola, and then nothing.
Yeah. I was, at first, I was annoyed by this. I was like, come on, man. These people ain't even got across the, ain't even jumped the broom yet. Ain't even made it across the finish line yet. You already asking about babies. That's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's hard to conceive babies, and everybody's not able to do it. And everybody, you know, it's just, it's a really complicated conversation that I think people have made light of for way too long. But on the other side of that coin, this is what parents do. Parents are supposed to bully you about your about having kids, whether you like it or not. It's horrible. It's awful. It might suck every day. But it's like how siblings are. Older siblings are supposed to be assholes to their younger siblings. At some point, younger siblings are supposed to annoy their older siblings. It's just the circle of life. Mm-hmm. So while I felt like, man, this is kind of intrusive. What are you doing? Come on, give them some space. You know, we don't know. Yeah, get out of their bedroom. On the other hand, I was like, you know, it's what moms do.
Yeah, I think personally for me, this is a level below, and that's fine. But a level above this that's a little more tough is when they make it, like, they say it from their perspective, which is, I want grandkids. I'm like, okay, and?
Right.
Right. Am I supposed to be doing this for me or for you? Well, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm. No, my mom has definitely hit me and my brother with, I want grandkids. And we're like, okay, well, when we go have them and we drop them off here and leave, I don't want to hear anything else about it. Because if you want grandkids, you can have your, look, that can be your children. If you want, I will go collect you some grandkids. I will make sure the house is populated with them. And then I am going to go back to what I am doing, because you're trying to make a decision about my life because what do you want? Nah. If you want to make that decision, you get to keep them damn grandkids. Until then, leave me alone.
So then we get to a segment that I want to get your thoughts on here with them. So obviously they've been having this little party on the boat. Manuel had a moment of intrusive thoughts, feeling sad about his family missing home. And then later that night, they were planning on surprising Ashley with a strip club for her bachelorette party. Jonathan has passed out somewhere, so they brought Manuel along with them. And the two of them, family style, hit up a strip club.
Yeah. You know, this felt about right. You know, I feel like they you definitely cannot leave Manuel alone, right? Like, he's already lonely. You gotta get him out the house. And you know, strip clubs are fun spaces. I just recently, I don't know if you remember, but I recently was in a wedding and I also had to go to a bachelor party not too long ago. And it was not at a strip club, but there were dancers at said location. And it was a good time. It was a good time. So, no, I thought this was pretty cool. I love seeing Manuel kind of loosen up. But again, he is very, very drunk. He's very drunk. And Ashley and her friends are a good time. And so between the strippers and alcohol and the music and stuff, felt like this was a great situation. You're not into the co-ed bachelorette parties?
I'm not that I'm not into it. I just never really thought of it. I guess what I should do is probably, let me text Liana and see if...
Yes.
Let me hit her with a hypothetical question. Let me hit her with one of those.
And right, so. Chappelle is throwing me a bachelor party. a bachelor/bachelorette party at the strip club. What time will you be ready?
Okay, nice.
Or so, what time can you be ready? Please stop by the ATM and pick up some ones. Because Puya, here's the thing. It's really hard to get singles. I found this out. Because the wedding I was in was New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve. So the day before is the bachelor party. So it's the Saturday before New Year's Eve. I'm at the bank trying to get ones after like 5 o'clock. There's no way. There's just no way. So now I'm at Walmart.
5 o'clock?
Yeah. Well, someone said, oh, yeah, you know, the bachelor party is there. I'm like, oh, I'm free now. Let me go get some ones. And I'm like, it's like 4 o'clock. The bank's like, oh, we're closed. It's the weekend of New Year's. You know,
right.
It's not open. It's like closed at like 3 or something like that. So now I'm going bank to bank looking for somebody with ones. I run into Walmart and try to do like cash back or something like that, because I ain't giving these dancers fives and tens. Are you crazy? I ain't built like that. I'm trying to get some ones and then hold on to a couple of them. You know, just rub the one up there and then just hold on to it. You know, you got to make your money stretch when you were broke boy like me. So it's really tough to do that. So yeah, text Liana and tell her to get the ones ready It might take a day or so to prep, if depending on how many wands you want. There's a science to this, Puya. It's not as simple as just showing up to the strip club.
Last year for my birthday, Liana gave me an envelope with, it was $50 in ones.
Okay.
But it was not for what you think it was. I'm a big claw machine guy. When we, you know, when we go to a store or something, if there's a claw machine, I'll pull up and try and win or something. It was for that. And I was baffled. I was like, how did you manage to get all these? I went to two banks.
See, it's not easy.
No,
it's really not easy. And the claw machine thing, that's cool. Yeah, that probably won't fly at the strip club. They some of them frown upon grabbing. So leave your claw at home.
Yeah, that is not what I was saying, Mr. Chappelle.
Yeah, this is the claw machine. That's what you call your hand, the claw machine. The claw.
For more of this man's music, check out Recap Kickback, available now.
Luckily, you don't see the video of me doing the claw motion.
Yeah, that's just for my eyes only, because it's a non-video pod, and I'm seeing this guy really give me all the charades that I could have ever asked for.
Yeah, it's claws out.
So in the middle of the strip club, we do see, first of all, Ashley says, I need Manuel to know how fun his future wife is going to be. So she's also going all out, enjoying herself here. But she then walks away with her friend Alicia to talk about the tension between Manuel and Solly. And she does tell Alicia, listen, I think Solly had an impact on him. I think since then, Manuel has been being a little bit more serious. I feel like he's been a lot more open with me. You know, recently he called Ecuador to talk to his sons and got me on the call as well. So it sounds like Solly ended up having a good impact. I would love to know if Manuel would credit Solly as well. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think they like each other enough for Manuel to just honestly admit that the conversation with Solly had an impact, but it does look like there's different actions, because when Ashley tells Alicia, I talked to Manuel's son, her reaction was like, what? Like, excuse me? So you could tell that there's a definite change in the activity. And so maybe some of that seeped in. Now, the issue is still that if his actions are seeping in, if his words are seeping in and changing Manuel's actions, does that mean Solly can now make this trip to the wedding? Because Ashley really wants him there.
I have a feeling he's going to pull up. That's kind of the vibe I'm getting, is I think he's probably going to end up coming here. Otherwise, why tell us about him all this, like, so much? Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, the other thing for me is that I feel like this is a big deal to them, because Manuel was so private about his family and was not willing to share any of that stuff. So it definitely was an eye-opener, I think, for him. And I think ultimately that's better for the relationship, because now Ashley doesn't feel like he's hiding an entire identity away from her.
Yeah. And I like that. Like I said, Ashley and Manuel, I know that, like Sasha was saying, like, they are under her skin right now, you know, where it's just like they argue, then they go have sex, and then they argue again. They forget everything that happened. They have sex again. And they, you know, just over and over and over. But in this episode, it was like the Niagara Falls all over again. I truly saw them happy. And I was like, yeah, this is it. Like, I like for them to live in this space. So whatever it takes to make Ashley's big day happen and be perfect, and Manuel's big day, I don't know. I mean, you know, he's not going to get his family there, but I really wish that they could, because, you know, in these moments, I really connect to couples like this. And so I'm wishing them the best of luck. And I was very happy to see that they enjoyed themselves on their big bachelor party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, we do see in the next time on that the happy wedding, everything's looking good leading up, but maybe Mother Nature had different plans. Maybe the weather is not going to work in their favor, because a tropical storm is coming and it might ruin their plans for the wedding.
Which is wild, but they were in Miami, right? So
yes, I believe so.
Yeah, so that's not out of the ordinary. A tropical storm coming in Miami is not great, because they're going to take the brunt of whatever that that storm is. If it hits head on, then that's going to ruin travel for people, but that'll also probably ruin the ceremony as well. So I guess we get to tune in next time to find out if that's something that they're actually going to have to deal with, or maybe it's just like 90-day building suspense and the tropical storm isn't that bad, or hits so far off to where it doesn't actually affect anything. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
It's like, oh no, it's going to hit next scene. It's absolutely clear skies.
It's fine, y'all. False alarm. We've seen that on 90 Day before.
Yeah. Well, I'm breaking news. Liana replied to my question of if we did a joint Bachelor Bachelorette party, would you be down to go into a strip club together with yeah, exclamation point, no further response. So
okay.
She's in.
All right. Book it. I already got, I'm texting my promoter friends right now. I could get us a section at Blue Flame in Atlanta. Not Blue Flame. I actually got put out of Blue Flame. So we have to go somewhere else. Maybe Onyx.
4 years too late, but who said there's a timeline on any of this?
There's no timeline on any of this. Okay. Look, you're here now. We can do all the fun stuff.
Perfect. Well, let's move on and talk about another couple that, you know, as much as we would like to have everyone have fun stuff, doesn't seem like they're having fun stuff quite yet. And that is the saga of Rob and Sophie. Now, Chappelle, remind me, when is the last time we had you on the pod here?
When we found out Rob didn't have a bathroom.
So it's been a minute.
Yeah, day one of Rob and Sophie, when she showed up and was like, oh my God, find you a home. Like, you know, put your shoes on. This is the hood. You know, like it was that was the energy that I think we as viewers and Sophie was dealing with, because, you know, it's very jarring to see somebody who is like, oh, my bathroom is outside. And you're like, you have to walk outside to go to do that. And you want to raise kids in this house that, you know, I can't, you know, that it's not a livable home for a lot of people. But then a lot of us had to step back, including myself. I had to step back and say, well, I mean, that's his situation. You know, we've seen people live in much worse situations on 90 Day Fiance. I can't think of her name. She was dating the man who was hearing impaired, who was deaf. But I remember he went to her home and it was basically just held up by prayer, you know, and then it didn't work, you know, and it was awful, you know, and it was just kind of like, it was just happy to get her and her son up out of there, you know, to where they could have a better living situation. And I was like, this was like the Americanized version of that. Like it's a impoverished situation. So it was like, we're not going to judge people for being broke or for being poor. It happens. But at the same time, we're like, man, but asking for some of these things, it feels like just like, it's like you're torn between calling them first world problems or just like, or these are actually luxuries that we take for granted. Right. So she's like, I would like to not have to walk outside to go to the bathroom. Seems reasonable. But at the same time, is it? Because for him, this is just reality. And you agreed to move here and live with him and you fell in love with him. So are you going to fall in love with him unless he broke? Because that's a different story. So that's where I met them. And throughout this season, we've seen them struggling with this again and again. I mean, I remember the duvet argument, you know, so here we are. And it's a lot of the same. Now, the newest things that I have to deal with now is that Sophie is bisexual. And, you know, that is an argument that I really wasn't expecting them to have to deal with this close to what seems like should be the wedding day. If it is to come. I mean, we see some wedding dress shopping going on, but there's a lot of drama in this relationship right here.
Yeah, this relationship it legitimately feels like it's tied by, we have 90 days, we have to do it, otherwise it's too, like, we can't. Because I've never seen someone be so meh about where they are in the relationship and also go wedding dress shopping at the same time with their mom, who does not like their partner, like, at all, has no interest in them two being together. But it really is a weird spot for them. So obviously, the drama of the last couple episodes with Rob and Sophie is that Sophie's mom is in town. And Rob and Sophie's mom butted heads early. They ended up storming out of the house. She stayed with her mom for two nights, however long. And Rob has not really been talking to her. She's not really talking to Rob. Mom did say, did you speak to him while I was asleep? Did that happen? And she's like, no, but I saw that he sent a meme out, and it was a meme about, you know, I didn't write down the exact wording, but it was basically one of those of like, when she lies about this and makes it look better for her, blah, blah, blah. And then he captioned it, wow, this one hit different at 4 a.m. I was like, are we watching a high school play? Because
yeah,
what in child's play is this?
Especially with him being 32 and her being 23. It very much felt like something that you might catch from a 23-year-old and not a 32-year-old. Because he's being very passive aggressive about this. He's like, oh, how I sleep when she's taking zero accountability and da 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 da. It's like, okay, but it's 4 a.m, so you're not even asleep. So the meme, you low key thought you ate that, but you didn't, because you're up at 4 a.m. thinking about her. You're the fact that she's not taking accountability and all this other stuff that you're accusing her of is making you lose sleep. And you're so passive aggressive that you can't talk about it with her. So what are you doing? Resulting to trying to communicate via meme. That's a little childish for somebody who's supposedly about to marry this woman. And on the flip side, you left her sleeping next to her mom, who we know doesn't like you, but also who's going to miss her 23-year-old if she goes off and marries a guy that she doesn't, you know, she's not fond of. So her mom's going to go back and live in her, like, in her home country soon. And she's going to miss out on the finer points of this woman's, like, 20s because she's going to be married to you. And she's laying there looking at her daughter thinking, oh, my God, I don't even know if I'm ready for this. So you essentially left her with your ops. Like, you left your fiance with the person who wants to stop y'all from being together the most. And now she's getting, like, a new wind about herself. Like, hey, now that I'm sitting here looking at my daughter, yeah, I don't think I can let this happen. I might have to shut this down because I'm looking, this is my baby girl, and I can't let her go through this. Had you been an adult and made up with your wife or fiance, and she was back at home with you, then the mom might not have as much leverage as she thinks she has going into the events of this episode.
It really is fascinating because I feel like the more and you're not wrong, the more Sophie is alone with her mom, the more her mom uses everything Sophie says against the marriage. We do see later on in the a scene where before she gets picked up from the hotel by Rob, she tells her mom, so I told you 90% of things, but not everything. I told Rob recently that I'm bisexual. And her mom was like, oh, well, who cares? And I thought, okay, mom. And then everything else out of the mom's mouth after that was, oh, mom cares. Because mom said, who cares? And then immediately started using it to break down the marriage, speaking about, well, have you been in a relationship with a woman before? No. Well, then maybe you shouldn't get married and try that out first. Maybe that's what you want. And she's like, no, but I know I want to marry a man. And everything she would say, mom had a counter argument ready to go for it.
Yeah. And I thought, okay, mom is grasping at straws here because Sophie being bisexual does not mean that she wants to go be with a woman.
Right.
It just means that she is attracted to women in a sexual way, in a romantic way, whatever the case may be. But she's not saying, I don't think I want to marry Rob because I have eyes for someone else. She's saying, I am attracted to other people, just same way she's attracted to men. So if she is not going to be, like, leaving Rob to go be with another man, why are you automatically assuming that she's going to one day, what'd she say? You're okay, well, I guess get married. And then one day you're going to cheat on him with a woman and then you're going to get a divorce. So is that what you want? It's like, she never said that she had eyes for anybody else. All she said was that she has attraction for both sexes. What are you doing here? So yeah, mama is grasping, she's reaching, and it's kind of, you can tell it's getting to Sophie. She's like, kind of like, dang, because I think, for one, her mom was offended. She was kind of like, damn, I thought you could talk to me about this kind of stuff. Like, we talk about everything. You thought you being bisexual, you know, you dibbling and dabbling was going to bother me. That don't bother me, especially since you're not even acting on it. Like, you definitely getting married to Rob, right? So why would you think this was even a problem to not talk to me about? But to Sophie's defense, I'm thinking, well, I wouldn't want to talk to you about stuff like this either if this is how you're going to react. You know, she just came to terms with herself being bisexual a year prior to this. And now you're already like, well, I guess that means you're not getting married to Rob. I was like, I wouldn't have told you either, you know? So I was proud of her mom for being, you know, like, very understanding about something that was very obviously hard for Sophie to talk about. But then I was looking at her mama crazy, like, come on, man, take your foot off the gas just a little bit, you know, slow down, pump your brakes. She's bisexual, but she did not say, I need to go be with women and try them out before I go be with Rob.
And that's the thing for me with the relationship with Sophie and her mom, because I feel like initially Sophie went into her mother's arms because finally someone who understands me, someone who understands why I've been struggling and who has now seen firsthand how Rob speaks to me anytime I push back a little bit. And like, you know, I'm not losing my mind. I actually have like a foot to stand on here and my mom sees it. I think it started to bleed away from that to, oh, is my mom just agreeing with me and saying all these things because she has her own agenda? And it's not so much that she understands me, but it's that she has a specific thing she wants me to do, and that's not be with him. So she's doing whatever she can to get me there. Because I feel like, to me, it felt like Sophie started kind of moving away from what her mom was saying all the way until she was like, Oh, you're downstairs to pick me up? Yeah, stay down there. I'll come down there myself. Don't come up here. Like, mm-hmm. I'm bye, Mom. I'm leaving now.
It was the escape. Yeah, I agree. I think her mom heard you're bisexual and thought this is my way in. You know, like, mm-hmm. oh my God, this is the break. Like, for her mom, all she really cares is that this woman is not with Rob. So she like, bisexual, have you tried being a lesbian? Like, have you tried not just no men at all? Because you could just leave Rob. Have you tried that? It's like,
you know,
no,
what's
I really love
cool?
Rob.
Celibacy. Maybe.
Right. Have you thought about being a nun? Have you thought about just completely locking it down, marrying Jesus? Like, what, you know, what exactly do you want to do here with Rob that you can't do alone by yourself in London, you know, down the street from me? Like, I'm starting to think that you're confused. I think you're confused and you need to just take some time. I was like, all right, Sophie, you got to get up out of there. And it does not help that Rob is calling and being super pouty and passive aggressive on the phone. Like, hey, how you doing? I'm on the phone. I'm there. You want me to come get you? No, come pick you up. Everybody can hear that he's on his sad boy stuff on the phone. He's angry or he's hurt or whatever the case may be. And Mom is like, sounds aggressive to me. I don't know if you should go with him. You know, you really want to marry somebody who's pouting like this? Ew, it's giving me the ick. It's not giving you the ick? Come on. So, yeah, Mom is trying her best, but Sophie's locked in. She's like, I'm going to go marry Rob. I just really wish it wasn't this hard to do it.
Yeah, I'm very curious where they go. I feel like what I want to introduce starting maybe next season or even now is I'm going to pick one couple at the end of or closer to the end of each season, and I'm going to say, this is the couple I do not want to see getting married. This is the one I would like to see split. And right now, I think of everybody here, I would give it to these two. Because, you know, we talked about Ashley and Manuel having like the bad communication and just solving everything with sex. I think we've still seen the happy parts with them. Nikki and Igor, my God, it's been like a minefield with them and Igor not getting it. But also, I think the age factor of both of them being adults and kind of being like, no, but we love each other. Okay, cool. But with Sophie and Rob, Sophie is so young and Rob is so not wanting to conform, or he sees relinquishing anything as defeat or as an insult to who he is as a man. And I feel like, when have we seen these two be happy? It's been very fleeting, barely there. They went to a sex toy store to like spice things up and left with the biggest argument. So to me, these are the two I would say, if y'all want to skip out, if you want to hit skip on this, I'm not mad at it.
Yeah. The only reason I dislike this show is the one thing that always needles me about this show.
Air your grievance.
It is that when they have good moments, they know how to hammer those good moments home to where you almost forget that these people are awful together. We've seen it 1,000 times with Gino and Jasmine, right? Where they are awful together, about to fight each other. And then they have one sweet moment. You're like, well, I guess it's fine. You know, maybe they can get it together. Like, you almost forget that these people are insane together. With Rob and Sophie, I'm like, I don't get it. I don't understand how y'all work. But when I saw Sophie trying on the wedding dress, my cold, dead heart was like, man, I hope she has her nice beach wedding. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought the first dress was good. The second dress, it wasn't giving me stripper like Mom said. But that third dress, man, you know, is it a beautiful bride? Let her have her moment. And so I have to separate myself and be like, no, she could marry somebody else in a good dress. This is not supposed to happen. And so I think I'm with you on this one, Rob and Sophie, just haven't given me enough to believe that even if they got married, that they could survive all of the stuff that comes with it. Because Rob, it feels like Rob would be the one to be like, I want a divorce, you know, despite the fact that it looks like Sophie's making more of the allowances than he is.
Yeah, no, I truly feel that way as well. Let's take a quick break here. Actually, wait, before we even do that, in the next time on, they're fighting again. So, okay.
Yep. Same old spoiler shit. Same alert. Old fucking shit. Yeah.
Exactly.
Again, you know.
Yeah.
We're so close to the finale. I need y'all to wrap, clean it up. Tighten up. Come on, y'all. We're trying to get across this damn wedding stage or the beach or wherever they're getting married. You know,
please.
It's too close. It's too close to fumble like this. Yeah. I just need them to have one good episode.
That remains to be seen, Chappelle. Well, we'll take a quick break and we'll talk about a couple who actually did have a good episode that I didn't expect, and that's Nikki and Igor. We'll be right back.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, You impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
All right, Chappelle, we're going back to Moldova for the final night in Nikki's trip there before she makes her way back to the U.S. And that's her and Igor having their engagement party. It's the day of the engagement party that they've been, they're going to celebrate their love with family, with friends. And this was interesting. Well, first of all, this is the segment that Sasha texted me about because she had some thoughts, but we have her getting ready for the engagement party. Igor leaves to go meet up with everybody and leaves the keys with her to show up later. And then Nikki's friend Chanel calls and she's like, listen, I was talking to your mom and your mom brought up this whole threesome thing. What was that all about?
And what did Sasha have to say?
Sasha talked about the singing later.
Oh, yeah. Well, she mentioned that on the last podcast. I believe she called it interesting, I think she said, or something like that. Fascinating was, I think, the word she used for the singing. But yes, this conversation with Chanel was interesting to me because she said, your mom told me about the threesome. If one of my friends ever called and said those words to me, I would just go on top of my house and just jump. Because why is my mom talking to you about a threesome with me and my significant other? Why does my mom know about a threesome? Like, you know, like that, those words should never come out of your friend's mouth. Your mom told me about the threesome that you and your significant other are considering having. What? No. When she said it, I was like, wait a minute. Now, I knew the threesome conversation happened. I knew mama knew about it. But mama telling the friends about it too?
Y'all, that's too close. A red flag. What is mom doing?
Y'all too close. My mama, you got to establish boundaries. My mama know better. My mama better not call. She can barely call my friends and tell them happy birthday. Like, hey, touch base real quick and go. So girl, I heard about the threesome. What? What are you talking about? So I was in shock. And Chanel is using this as like, hey, he really don't even like having sex with you that much. And he really want to bring in somebody else? That's crazy. I don't know if you should marry him. It's like, babe, she's on her way to the engagement party. You should have been had conversations like this is too late. I feel like this is the checkout line. Any conversation you're trying to bring up the day of the engagement party is only going to make her day worse. I don't know if you got to wait till tomorrow after the engagement party to have this conversation, but for me, it just felt like there's nothing you can say in this moment that's going to make her change her mind about this engagement party. She's going. Now, she's either going to have a good time or a bad time, but you cannot be the person who's pushing that narrative because mama mentioned it to you. I know you care about your friend. I know you do, because you want her to be happy. You want to be with somebody who cares about her, who wants to be with her sexually and physically, you know, in all the ways. But I don't think now is the time to have this conversation. For me, I was just like, whoa, I hear you, but dial it back just a little bit. Like, you know, like she got a lot on her mind right now. And I don't think this is the time to have this conversation.
No, I feel like I don't understand what you think you're going to accomplish by bringing this up to Nikki, especially because Nikki's about to leave tomorrow, mm-hmm. and probably will have some time to think about everything herself anyway. So I don't know. I don't know. I feel like, and I don't know what this says about me, but if I'm Chanel, I'm calling knowing this information, but I'm not going to open up with this conversation. I'm going to somehow be like, so what has been happening? What's new? Has anything new developed? Because I want to hear you tell me so I can get your thoughts up front, as opposed to me asking you that I knew from a third party. I feel like that's not the move. But I think Nikki's sentiments are that, you know, she feels like with men, like this happens where they don't accept her, that she can be hidden from the world because she's trans, and then says that ultimately what him and I have is very rare. And I think that despite some of the red flags we've seen, despite some of the red flags that he has said, I feel like Nikki, in Nikki's heart, she feels like this is a very rare thing they have. And I think I give her credit here. I think she's way more understanding of Igor than maybe Igor deserves at times as well. But it's very clear to me that she's not given up on this relationship that has been, you know, going on across decades with a gap in between kind of thing. Like, she's really trying to see this out.
It's been 17 years. Mm-hmm. If you're going to let a conversation about a threesome throw you off after 17 years, I'm sorry. Then you just ain't got the heart for this kind of thing. You know, I think Nikki, and it's kind of sad too, that Nikki has identified that this is probably her, like she said, it's rare. This is like the best that she's been presented with.
Sad. So, yeah.
Yeah. It is sad because it's kind of like, even if there were other red flags, you wonder if she would be willing to leave because she's just happy with finally having somebody who's proud to say, like, look, friends and family, this is who I'm with. And you could tell that she meant that. She's like, this is rare. I don't get to have these moments often. So now that I have it, I don't want to let it go. I'm not going to let a threesome conversation slow that down. But it does lead to question, if there are bigger issues, would she still stick around through it? You know, would she stick around through things that are awful about their relationship? You know, the things that most people would say, I'm packing this up. Is she just not in a position where she's comfortable enough to do that and feel like she could still find happiness? So yeah, it kind of, I was like, damn, that's crazy when you put it like that. But yeah, she tells Chanel, I value your opinion. I value your friendship. I love you as a friend. And she tells us like, hey, and you have to be able to do that. You have to be able to tell your friends, I hear you. I value your opinion. I love you. But also you have to make the decision that's right for you in your heart. And so, you know, she can't live life for Chanel, because if it's up to Chanel and Nikki leaves Justin / Igor and says, I'm not marrying you, then Nikki's back to having no one, you know. And she's like, I enjoy having this person in my life. This is almost two decades of a relationship on and off that she's cultivated with this person. And she doesn't want to start over at almost 50 years old as a trans woman. You know, I just think that she's in an impossible situation, and it's for her to decide how she wants to move forward. It's either she's either gonna take this risk or she's not gonna take this risk. But there's no easy right answer as to like, well, he didn't do this one thing you don't like, so you must have to go. Like, it's very nuanced and more complicated than it could ever be for somebody, you know, or a cisgender person, maybe like Chanel or somebody else who just doesn't have the same struggles.
Yeah, and I feel like there's been so many other conversations that have. She has definitely put her foot down and argued back. Even this threesome thing, they've like combated and talked about. And I have to imagine, being where they are now, they must have talked about it and moved past it for her not to react to this the way she did originally when she had the conversation with him. And I also feel like 17 years, there have been so many arguments and so many other things you've talked about. And I would even argue, Chappelle, that we might even see her feel more upset and irritated by some of the comments that Igor has said once they get to the reunion and she sees the footage of him talking to his friends the way he is about her. I think that's going to be worse than any threesome conversation that he brought up. Because I think, I have to assume this is what happened, where Igor explained himself or clarified, no, what I meant was this, because like, you wanted to spice up, like have more romance. I thought this could be like a fun way. And I have to imagine he's cleared that up for her already, for it not to be an issue here. But like you said, also, it's her last day. She might still very well be bothered by this, but it's the final night before I leave and it's our engagement party. I'm not letting anything ruin this kind of thing.
Yeah, and Nikki does talk about how in her 20s and 30s, she had threesomes and she played around. You know, Nikki's like, listen, baby girl used to get down. And it's like, okay. But she's like, I'm about to be 50 now, and I don't want to do that no more. So maybe, being, you know, threesomes, group play, MFM, FFM, all that stuff, it ain't for her anymore. But it might be for Justin / Igor, you know, where he's like, you know.
That's a good point. She brought that up as well, yeah.
Yeah, it might be for him. He's like, I still got a little time to get down in them chat rooms to show a little feet, you know. So for him and her to be having this disagreement is definitely something that, it's not a tiny disagreement. You know, if it's going to be something that he's going to want to explore moving forward, then they definitely need to talk about it. But the day of the engagement party is just not going to, this is not going to move the needle at all.
No, it's not, definitely not the time for them at the moment. No. Now we do see that Nikki go to the engagement party. Finally, everyone's there. And everything looks nice. She looks beautiful. Justin loves what he's seeing as well. He looks dapper. Everyone's in a good place. And then Igor's friend Sergey says, Nikki, I thought you promised you were going to perform for us. You're leaving tomorrow. You got to perform now. And with all the pressure of the entire room mounting on her back, she gets up there and she sings for them.
Yeah, like, Nikki, Nikki, Nikki. She's like, no, 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 stop, no, stop, no, 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 guys, I can't possibly, you know, I've never, I just never performed over here. Oh my God, I just never before. Like, she really like, I don't want to do this, but okay. And she gets up there and she performs a little pop song, you know. I was like, I've heard songs like this. Very, Brooke Hogan, you know, Ashley Tisdale, these little like popcorn pop songs. I was like, this is cool. This is cool. Like I said, Sasha said it was fascinating. What did her text message say?
So Sasha's text message was, Nikki singing was the cringiest thing I have seen.
I liked it. I don't necessarily enjoy.
Way worse.
I did not enjoy necessarily the singing performance. I enjoyed how much happiness it brought Justin. Mm-hmm. Justin is sitting there and he is beaming, and the whole family was too. I know, like I said, 90 Day likes to splice up some clips real quick and make us feel like, oh God, it got awkward. You know, it got kind of interested. Oh, what if the family wasn't feeling the performance? No, everybody was jamming. Everybody loved it. They gave her a lot of positive feedback. And again, this is the type of happiness that you want on your engagement party. You do not want people trying to tear you apart because you want a threesome or because, you know, because you're bisexual. You know, like, those are not the things you talk about when you're trying to get engaged or and celebrate your nuptials, right? I was happy that it all turned out. Now, am I going to go download the song? Probably not. But it wasn't for me, no way. This is for Nikki's fan base and her man, Justin, and apparently his family, because Moldova loved it.
They loved it. Justin loved it. Justin was dancing, clapping his hands. He also joked about how, you know, Nikki has said at some point I could be a backup dancer of hers. I don't think I can dance like that. I don't got the rhythm in me, but I'll have some fun with it. Yeah. So
he's going to do the robot, you know?
Yeah. So he enjoyed himself, and honestly, I sympathize with Nikki. The idea of, hey, get up in front of everyone and do that thing you do, and you're not volunteering to do it, you're always going to be in a nervous spot there, for sure.
Been there, done that a billion times for you. You know, your boy Rob doesn't seem to understand that. He's like, Chappelle, or I guess I should blame Sam. Anyway, you be minding your own business, having a good old drink.
Chappelle, do your jokes. Get up there and make everyone laugh.
Yeah. All eyes on you. 500 people in here. Go for it. Anybody else coming? No, it's just you, baby. You got it. Don't do that little dance you be doing. It's like, I was like, what? That's exactly how this felt. I feel you, Nikki. But Nikki stepped up. She rose to the occasion.
She did. And honestly, it looked like a fun night. Everyone was having a good time. So I would say the engagement party was a huge success. We do not see them on the next time on, and I have to imagine the next time we do see Nikki, she'll be back in the States. So yeah, we'll probably get a time jump. We'll see how they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she has to get home before the summertime, right? Because that's where she does all her performances. And so they were like, so when you coming back? She's like, I don't really know. She's like, hopefully Justin is back with me by the time, you know, next time we're talking about this. So yeah, maybe they'll both be back in the States.
We'll see. Well, we should go to the States then, because their next two couples are situated there. It's time to talk about Clayton and Annalie. Okay. So last time we saw them, they were planning their respective bachelor bachelorette parties, and Clayton's sister Brandy was in charge of Annalie's party, and she told Annalie, yeah, we're having a little movie night with some people just at home, just having a chill time. And Annalie was like, I don't love that, but listen, I'll go. She organized it for me. Little did Annalie know that Brandy had some of her own plans. But before we get there, Chappelle, we open the episode with Clayton talking to Annalie and laying down the rules. He said, these are the rules for the bachelorette party. No hombres, and specifically, no strippers. No hombres and no strippers. She's like, says who? He's like, me. I'm in charge. I was like, all right, Clayton, relax.
She said, oh, of course, yeah, you're in charge. Yeah, we're just doing a movie night. Duh, Brandy said we're just doing a movie night. And then we see the dichotomy of what, you know, us pure and wholesome men do for our bachelor parties, right? Where we just like, we're hanging out.
There is no shot you would have a Clayton-style bachelor party. I refuse.
We are going to read a little Bible, watch some PBS, you know, play maybe like, you know, play some board games. A little D&D, you know, that kind of thing. You know, definitely going to go to the library, read a little bit. Definitely a lot of reading, very scholastic function. But then these women, they show up to these bachelorette parties and their penis is everywhere. It's crazy. I was like, what is wrong with this woman? I thought, what? Oh, I mean, Annalie, have your fun, but isn't there a limit? Dear God, the man just asked for no strippers and there's penises everywhere. The bare minimum. I was clutching my pearls. I said, this is filthy. I didn't know y'all got down like this.
Here's what I will say about bachelor parties. I think It's to each their own. I don't shame anybody for the style of party they want to have, whether it's a low-key thing, whether it's a rave, a kickback, a party. Like, I'm fine with you doing whatever you want to do. That being said, shout out to Brandy, who gets my VIP NPC of the week, MVP NPC of the week, because Brandy hoodwinks everybody with this movie night nonsense. She has planned an entire authentic American bachelorette party event for Annalie. Where, like you said there's penises everywhere. There's one stripper, but all the penis decorations were out on display. We had the balloons. We had the little, like, the floaties. She really spared no expense to make sure this is an authentic experience for Annalie. And let me tell you, Annalie loved it.
It was dick everywhere. And I was just like, he specifically said no strippers. Man, Brandy, this is this man's sister. Where's the loyalty? Dear God, woman, please. You know, Annalie, I'm glad you had a good time. But, you know, like I said, on the scale of Annalie to Clayton on those parties, I just really want my bachelorette parties to be a little bit more wholesome. You know, less slang in the meat and all.
You went to Walmart to pick up singles. I don't want to hear these lies from you.
I was doing my due diligence as a groomsman. You know, I'm talking like that was his function. I showed up, covered my eyes, if you will, handed out wands to the dancers as they deserved. You know, like, oh, okay, she did a great job there. I'm obviously going to tip. I tip well, the more than normal 15-20% even. You know, because that's what you do as a groomsman. But at my bachelor party, yeah, it's definitely during the day. Sun is up. Library, you know, probably like thumb through the archives of, you know, different like magazines and periodicals, you know, really like scrapbook a little bit, go to Hobby Lobby, you hit the Hobbs Lobs, you know.
Okay, let me put you on the spot. Okay, so you are having a Clayton-esque bachelor party. Okay,
I'm gonna do a little bit more than Clayton.
Okay, well, it's you and it's one RHAP podcaster who's part of your party. Who are you inviting? Who's your one person?
Jordan Kalish.
Oh, this is the amount of Survivor trivia y'all are gonna go through.
That's what I'm saying. It's so wholesome and pure. Come on. Everybody's gonna be jealous when we post the pics.
Okay. Well, I feel like you went with a good answer to not get any of the other podcasters attacking you in the DMs about this. So kudos to you.
There you go. We got like the Freak Nasties bachelorette party with Annalie, but the Clayton of it all, this is precious, Puya. I don't care. This is precious. You get like them like hanging out, like, people let me tell you about my bed friend. Like, that was the vibe it was giving the whole time. Even his boy Cameron was like, this is kind of weird. He's like,
yeah, well, to me, and you tell me how you felt, this was like watching a kid get their first ever sleepover.
Yeah,
right. It's like the definitely. First time your parents were like, okay, you can stay over at their house. You're like, oh my God, what is this life? So yeah. Because first, also, Clayton is very awkward socially, because Cameron comes in and Clayton's like, yeah, we're not gonna hug this time. Let's just handshake. I was like, I feel weird when people talk about how they're gonna greet each other out the gate like that, but it's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just them playing at the pool, playing in the pool, having a little pool party, and then. And then it was, we're gonna game now. But Clayton was on a laptop gaming and Cameron was on a tablet.
Yeah. What game were they even playing?
I don't know, because it seemed like whatever they were playing, Clayton was very much like, okay, so then we're gonna go here and we're gonna get this and we're gonna. And then, and Cameron was like, I don't know what's going on. Cameron even said at one point, I'm like, bro, I'm not gonna lie, this is the weirdest bachelor party I've been to.
Yeah, that's his best bud. I relate to Clayton because, you know, I met my best friend online. You know, I'd never seen this man before. And then he showed up in Texas and I was like, well, gotta go visit him. And the first time I met him, I was like, okay, you know, cool. But then like by the second time I met him, I was like, this is my best friend, you know? And so like, no, you've met my best friend. Hell, you met him online too. You know? So it's kind of like, it's like, yeah. I relate to that energy of just like, sometimes you just want to be with your bro. But at the same time, the bachelor parties that I've been to, as I alluded to earlier in this podcast, they be a lot more communal It's a lot more what word am I looking for? Fellowship. It's a lot more dancers, a lot more decoration as well. Yeah, this was different, but I think that this bromance that they have is precious, and I can't judge them, because like I said, me and my best friend, he's been married for damn near 20 years, it seems like, and I that is my boy. So, you know, kudos to them for finding each other.
Well, how did you like on the response when Cameron says, this is the weirdest bachelor party I've been to? And Clayton responds, didn't ask, plus L, plus ratio.
Yeah, this is like, am I supposed to, why are you talking like that? Why are you talking like that? So speak to me in English. But you know, they only know each other online. You know, that's how people talk on the interwebs. You know, Unk is old. Unk is old. I'm old. I might hit you with that. I ain't asked you all that. You know, you know who I am. You knew when you flew your ass out here that we wasn't gonna be at the strip club, Cameron. You know, like they went and got in the pool. They compared each other's holes. It was a whole thing. You know?
Clayton said, when you see me with a flamingo shirt on, you know it's a party.
It's a party.
Should we both buy matching flamingo shirts for the next RHAP event?
It is a wonder that you and I don't have flamingo shirts already, because that kind of feels like it's up both of our alleys. Like a nice printed button down.
Yeah, I think we can make that happen.
Okay, let's do it. Right. Chicago, let's make it happen.
Okay, unless you want to have that with Jordan Kalish, then I won't intrude on your bond, and then you two can go matching.
So Jordan Kalish can't come. So we can't add a third. Is it? See, it's so.
No, you can't. I didn't say you can't. I didn't see. You. I said I don't know if you don't want me to be the third, because it feels I'm third. No, I feel like get named when I asked you. So
no, this is Justin and Nikki all over again. Why are you bringing up threesomes and stuff like that on our big day? We having a good time here on this podcast.
I didn't name Jordan Kalish. You did.
Okay. Well, you have to bring him back up. See, we were having a good time. We were talking about a party, talking about bachelor parties. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about. Okay, so not only did Brandy do a full decoration on this night, she also rented a party bus. Mm-hmm. And with great party bus comes great stripper, is what I've heard. So we get stripper. When we get a stripper who joins them on the party bus. I saw the subreddit was roasting this man for being kind of a subpar stripper.
I mean, I've never checked out the Reddit, and I also don't know really what man stripper gives. So I just thought, like, this is probably about it. It's not Magic Mike, but it's like, you know, magical, you know, like I'm sure there's some magic in it. But like, he was a cop. I thought it was very funny when Anna Lee was like, La Migra? She thought it was immigration. She was like, what? she said, immigration. I said, what? I said, girl, get off the bus. Get off the bus.
Yeah, let me tell you, I'll take firefighter, please.
Please don't play these games. Yeah, bring in a different public service. There wasn't a post office, like a postman stripper available for her. But she said, this cop is doing the things. And for, you know, Anna Lee, she's not supposed to be here with the stripper. So she's trying to play coy at first. But whenever Brandy's not looking, she's taking selfies. She got something like in all the photos and stuff. She had a good time with this subpar stripper. I think that it doesn't take much in that moment to really please Anna Lee, because Anna Lee went in thinking that it was going to be kind of like a very like subdued movie night, and instead she got strippers with the girlies. And so I think that even though the subreddit might be eating them up, I think that this was probably just enough. I think any more of a stripper, you know what I'm saying, like any better of a stripper, and Anna Lee might have got off the bus and went home.
Well, in the midst of all this, Brandy might not be as innocent as she's letting on. You know, she's planned this entire shindig for Anna Lee. But also, she's trying to truth serum Anna Lee a little bit. She was like, I'm giving her another extra drink, and then she might give me the you know, well, she even did the quote of like, drunk words are sober thoughts or something, right? So, so she was trying to get to the bottom of some answers. And the number one question she had was, how was it living with mom? And be honest, I want to know your truth. And Anna Lee was like, you know, it's fine, but I would like for us to move away from her because it's too small of a house and she can hear everything. And Brandy, I think, didn't realize that it takes two to have honest conversation, because I think Brandy was also kind of drunk.
I'm about to say, yeah, like, she drunk serumed the wrong person. She was poisoning both of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because she was immediately like, check back with me in a year. They're still going to be together. And she tells Annalie, they're not breaking up. Like, they're going to be together forever. There is no shot this is going to happen. She was in tears when she was having a confessional later.
Yeah, siempre. She says, it's weird. It is weird. It is uncomfortable. I was, this woman is drunk. This woman is drunk. Your family is going to watch this one day and be like, what do you mean it's uncomfortable? What do you mean? She's like, it's unnatural. Like, she looked disgusted at the idea that her brother and mom lived together for so long. And I don't mean disgusted in like a, oh, my brother's pitiful. Like, she looked like she thought there was something unholy going on with them. And I was like, all right, you got to stop drinking. Because I think that the alcohol tied to the camera and the microphone were really just giving her so much. Like, she wanted to ham it up for the camera, but also she had the truth serum in them. I personally am a big fat liar when I'm drunk. I just will say whatever the hell is on my mind. It'd be made up. So I don't ever even subscribe to like the drunk thoughts, sober feel, whatever the quote is. It ain't me. Cause I listen, when I get drunk, I just be talking. But for her, I really felt like she just needed that courage to say whatever was on her mind. And she got it. And it sounded bad. Like, I didn't really have a lot of trepidation about whether or not he was going to, you know, be able to separate from his mom ever, until hearing this conversation with Brandy. Brandy made it seem like, nah, they're going to be together forever. And then she got even like more childish about it. She's like, yep, forever. They're tied together. They're one true pair. It's always them. It'll never be you. Never. I was like, okay, goddamn. She know. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it feels like Brandy had an agenda from the beginning. I just don't know how long she knew that she was going to try to have this conversation with Annalie.
To me, it feels like Brandy's kind of been on the outside looking in. She matured. She grew up. She like started her own life. And Clayton really didn't grow. And he stayed with his mom. And it got to a place where, you know, we have seen that Clayton's one friend is Cameron, who he had never met until Annalie pushed for them to meet in person. And he literally, his mom micromanages his life. Like, last week was it where his mom was talking to him about, I would like for us to have more American food. I feel like, what work do I have to do to get a cheeseburger around here? And I was like, okay, I don't think it's that dire. But also the fact that it's a one bedroom and mom was like, I'll live in the little closet. That's fine. To me, it screams codependency, whether it's one party or both. And it definitely feels like it's both, because when Clayton talks about plans of moving to another place, like, you know, we got to find a place for mom, though. Like, mom's going to have to, we might have to do a three bedroom or something. And Annalie's like, well, absolutely not. That's not going to happen. And also the mom and Annalie are clearly clashing, and Clayton's really not doing anything to fix that. So he seems like he's not quite there. Obviously, though, I think Brandy putting the fear into Annalie is not the best choice here, but these two are bonding now. I think Brandy is firmly becoming Annalie's confidant moving forward in this relationship.
Annalie needs to snitch. She needs to go right back to Clayton and say, hey, your sister said you ain't never gonna leave your mama and that y'all is nasty together. I mean, at least that was the impression I was getting. She needs to go back and tell, because she really does think Brandy is going to be her. She's like, we're not best friends now, but you know, one day we're going to be sisters, and I would like to have a sisterly relationship with her. But can you have a sisterly relationship with somebody who is telling you that you cannot marry her brother because he will never leave your mama alone? Like, you know, it feels like Brandy's trying to have her cake and eat it too. Like, she wants to, like, I want to warn you, but also we sisters. It's like, you can't warn me about marrying your brother, considering if I don't marry him, we will not be sisters. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't have it both ways. Which one is it? Do you support us and you want to help me? And you're going to say, okay, I'll talk to mom, I'll talk to Clayton, I'll help you out of this situation, like, to where maybe if I come in, I can say, okay, mom, well, maybe don't move with Clayton, or maybe they can go without you. Are you going to be assisting this, or are you just egging me on from behind the veil? Because that's what it felt like to me. It felt like, you know, don't, you ain't heard from me, but they ain't never, that you ain't never going to be number one in his life. It'll always be mama. Now deal with it. Like, that ain't going to help. You got to be like, all right, listen, my brother has an unnatural alliance with my mom. It, for me, I need him to step out. I'ma help. I'll be there. I'll talk to him. I'll help him understand that you need your own space. But it didn't feel like it was coming from a helpful place. It felt like she was being messy.
Yeah. I don't see for me, I feel like she's trying to look out for Annalie. And I see this as them bonding. And we had seen her really have this strained relationship with her family before. So it's kind of like knowing that Annalie is coming in and is about to become her sister-in-law. It's like, well, I feel like I should give you the honest truth and not just silently let you get involved with this, especially when I'm hearing you be hopeful that, yeah, but we're going to move out. And I kind of know that that's probably not going to happen because he's had plenty of chances to and has not done so.
Yeah, I hear you. But let's say she is successful, right? I'm warning you that this is never going to happen. What is her ideal outcome in this? That Annalie goes home and says, Clayton, it's either me or your mama. And then Clayton picks his mama. And then Annalie is now no longer your sister. And now you've broken up your brother's relationship and broken this woman's heart. Like, what did you expect for her to do?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it felt like it wasn't helpful enough. Like, it felt like it was almost helpful. Like, I'm warning you. It's like, okay, thank you for the warning. Now, what do I do? She's like, shit, girl, I don't know. Good luck. I moved out. I don't know what to tell you. Shit, I ain't lived there forever. I grew up with them, and I can't even live there. I don't even know how you're doing it. Girl, couldn't be me. That's how it felt to me. Like, whoop you on your own. Peace. I was like, I don't like it. So I kind of agree that she is trying to help. I just hope that she goes a little bit further instead of just, you know, giving out these warning messages that this close to the wedding, Annalie might be making a huge mistake.
Yeah, well, we'll see how this ends up playing out, because when we see the next episode, Clayton's absolutely mad about the stripper. So we'll see how that plays out with the two of them, because I feel like Annalie is not going to just stand there and take it. She will leave if she has to. And I think Clayton's going to be like mad and then immediately apologize. That's my prediction.
I feel like Clayton going to bring up the stripper and Annalie going to be like, you don't even want to leave your mama. And then it's going to be who told you that? Brandon said, that's what I want. I want, look, if we're going to just start throwing and shooting shots, let's just let bang, 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 bang. Everybody can get one. That's what I feel.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. Last couple here to talk about, and that's Sam and Citra, who, when we first talked about last talked about 90 Chappelle, they were not even on the show. And now their wedding is 4 days away. She is looking at wedding dresses, which was kind of the theme for a couple of the couples here. She wanted to get their plan is to have a religious ceremony and a traditional American wedding. And her dream wedding is from the Twilight series.
That's why she's marrying a vampire. When she said that man looked like a vampire, I said, I knew it. I was like the Leonardo DiCaprio meme where I was like, yeah, you're like pointing at the, yes, that's he looked like a Cullen. I was like, exactly. You know, it made so much sense. It's not that he looks menacing. He does look a little menacing. No disrespect. If you listen to this, that's not menacing is an adjective to describe how you look. I don't think that you are a menacing person, but you do look menacing, like a vampire. Something undead, you know, but you got a lot of heart in there, kid. I like it. But for her, she has now seen you and identified. Nah, my dream wedding will be out in the woods. I could be Bella and this man will be Edward. And then, you know, we'll give birth to a vampire baby. And then some werewolf will imprint on it and does like follow my child around its whole life. You know, like that's what she's seeing in her mind, because that's Twilight. Right. So that's what she wants. And I think she's found the perfect person to do it because he fits the part.
Yeah, I feel like she definitely has this picture in her mind. She wanted like in the woods, because I've famously have only seen the first movie. I believe they get married one in the third one. So don't quote me on that. But she said the woods, and I was like, okay, I can picture it. Maybe I've seen the trailer or something.
Yeah, I mean, he does look like if he stood out in the sunlight directly, that he would like shine. You know, like they were, like it would bounce off his skin and it would make like a glimpse. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it feels like that from him. So I get what she's saying, but him being a vampire is not the biggest issue that they're going to have.
Not even close.
They have so many, like this relationship right here seemingly has the same amount, or if not more issues than Rob and Sophie, but they seemingly can push through in a way that I don't think Rob and Sophie can. Like Citra is committed to Sam.
Yes.
Okay. She There ain't nothing you can tell her about that man. That is her man. That is her man. She love him. She gonna do whatever. She gonna stick beside him. When he go to jail, she gonna get a neck tattoo with his name on it. You know, like she is down, 10 toes down, ride or die. And so I feel like there ain't nothing you can throw at this couple, despite all their issues, that's gonna shut them down.
Yeah, I think this was a big episode for them in that we learned that Citra's ride or dying with him, with Sam. I feel like because I think for a little bit it was the worry of, well, what happens if I get jail time? Is she going to stick around? And he wasn't sure. And I feel like she may not have been sure, but she has now said that I'm not going anywhere. I believe him. He has my trust. And if anything happens, I will wait for him to come back. So much so that she is willing to say this to her dad's face. Her dad later on, when they had a one-on-one, was like, well, how would you feel if I said, I don't want you to marry him, or that I think you should leave? She said that he's not guilty and breaking up is not an option for me, and I would not listen to you. I'm not giving in to. And she was like, I know my dad. He's a police officer. He typically will keep talking until he breaks me down and I give in. I'm not giving in to him. So she fully is not going anywhere and is firmly in Sam's corner, which I love. But if I may say freely, I still don't know if I fully feel like Sam is committing to the changes that are coming into this life. I've talked about this a little bit before, but I don't know how much his heart is into the conversion. I feel like the conversion is kind of, it's a thing that he has to do, that he's been asked to do. And I think he's only doing it to do it. I don't feel like he's really going to adhere by that. And I'm very curious how Citra is going to feel about that in the future. Again, this is speculation. He might take to it and it might all be fine, but I'm happy that they are backing each other at the very least, because I feel like some of these couples, they don't even back each other, and then others don't back them either. And it's a shambles.
Yeah. A lot to unpack there. First of all, I didn't know her dad was 12. I was like, okay, he's the police. That's crazy. Because now the energy that he's giving her kind of, it makes sense, because we know that Sam has drug use in his background. He has a criminal background as well. So, you know, dad's kind of like, this is actually the worst person for you, as far as I'm concerned, right? It's everything that her dad is against. He's just walking around living with, like, he's on painkillers and has been on painkillers since he was in high school. The man is in his 30s, I believe now. It's just her dad's like, there are so many red flags here. So many red flags that him being a vampire makes it looks like a blue flag, a green flag. It looks like a red flag, like an orange flag. It just doesn't look red, because look at him. He's on his way to jail. Ma'am, if I asked you as your father not to marry this man, would you listen to me? And she says, absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, I will not. I'm marrying him and there ain't nothing you could do about it. And to that, I was like, well, I respect it. I mean, if that's you, that's you. I respect that way more than the people on 90 Day who are on every episode crying like, I just don't know how I'm going to do this. I got to talk to my mom about this. Then they go talk to their mom. Their mama tell them, you leave him. You better than that. Then next thing you know, they back in their arms like, oh my God, this is my man. I'm going to stick beside him. I do not want to hear the back and forth. She was very clear. I don't care what you do. I'm going to be there. And then we saw the flip side where his mom is like, I mean, I'm not trying to force my religion on nobody, but I just don't think that you should just, I'm not going to be at your wedding if you get it married. Like, is this going to be the wedding? I don't know if I can go spiritually. I don't know if I'm there. And he like, well, I mean, it's pretty messed up for you to say that as my mom. I would love for you to be there, but I'm still getting married. So I don't know what to tell you. So I was like, hey, these two people, at least they ride or die for them. They remind me of Jabri and Miona, where it was just like, everybody is telling y'all, hey, this is not working. This man is a child. You want things over here. And they're like, yeah, we want different stuff, but we in love and y'all just gonna have to deal with it.
Right. We're riding this together and figuring it out together. Yeah. I think Sam's mom bothers me the most out of anybody we've met this season, honestly. Yes. I just feel like she and I, and again, nothing has confirmed or denied any of this because I've not really dove in deep, but I feel like she's very uninformed in her thoughts about the religious stuff. She says, I don't think any, no, she says, we have two separate beliefs. Again, very similar beliefs here with the two religions, to my knowledge, having been around both.
I'm about to say, you're very familiar, but I'm sure.
Yeah, and I'm just like irritated because All you got to do is be there for your son. They're not going to make you do anything. You don't have to do. You just have to stand there and support your son. And you're like, nah, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. Okay, fine, whatever. It's cool. It's fine. But I do love that. So he meets up with his mom because they go to a pawn shop. That's where he's going to buy the ring for Citra. And he's like, my mom may not have the best taste, but she has the female perspective. And I'm going to need that here. I was like, wow, way to say your mom doesn't have taste. They end up finding a ring. It looked like a decent ring. I'm not going to lie to you. It looked like a good ring. So that's nice. And ultimately, we're going to see where it goes with them. Because again, she has said breaking up is not an option. I don't think he's going to want to break up. I truly do not think that he's going to get jail time. I just really don't see that happening here. The next time on, we do see them having the conversion ceremony. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more next week. We're going to speak on that. We'll see how that goes. And last but not least, before we end the pod, Chappelle, we got to talk about Gino and Jasmine one more time.
No, we
because,
don't.
Listen, no, we don't. I thought you loved them.
Okay. So I'm all in on Gino and Jasmine. I am.
Okay.
But at this point, they need their own show. This is not for you anymore. 90 Day Fiancé is not for Gino and Jasmine. We have been through seasons of Gino and Jasmine, well over 90 days. Before the 90 days, after the 90 days, 90 days just friends, 90 days just kicking it, 90 days icebergs, revenge. Gino and Jasmine, just go. Leave us alone. Leave us alone. Just go. Be happy, be unhappy. I'm rooting for you. I just don't need to see it no more. You know, come on, man. At this point, Gino, we still doing this? Jasmine, that's what you got? I'm so tired of hearing about Dean. I'm so tired of hearing about Gino's sex life or lack thereof or what the freaky deaky stuff y'all be doing to make it work. I know so much. Puya, we know so many intimate details about Gino and Jasmine. I could draw a diagram.
I know more
about
their life than I know about a lot of my friends, including you. You know, and
exactly.
I talk to you on a pretty regular basis.
Right. We check in with these people once every other week per season. And I mean, I could draw their anatomy. That's how often it's talked about. I just really feel like there's too much. There's too much information. I love y'all. Y'all love each other. Go for it. Be happy. But I ain't got why I gotta be there. Why I gotta come.
Well, I'll sum it up with this. Next week we're gonna have her meeting up with his family, and she prefaces with, he better have my back. I'm giving his family another chance because I wanted to get married with just me, him, and Coco. But if he wants them there, he's going to have my back. And immediately we see one of the family members judging her bathing suit image options for her Instagram. So that's going to be fun. So I'll dive into all of that with my guest next week. Never you worry. But Chappelle, thank you so much for giving us your time here. I know you're a busy, busy boy. But I do appreciate when you give us your time and show up to the Hot Mess Express. Let the people know where they can find you and let them know a little bit more about what you've got working right now.
Thank you so much, Puya. I was 92% prepared to come on this podcast, you know, to talk about this. And I was very excited to get to talk about 90 Day with you again. I love when you ask me on for the season, but this is just an incredibly busy time for me right now, because we did launch recapkickback.com, which is the home of my new podcast presented by RHAP with the help of Rob Sesternino and friends. And I will be talking about whatever I want to on recapkickback.com. So if you're a fan of Chappelle, you know, shoot over there and subscribe to the podcast. Shoot me a 5-star review and rating, and just tell me, hey, you know, good luck on this journey, because it just started. Our first podcast episode is out. Our trailer is also out on YouTube. You can find that at youtube.com/@recapkickback. But also you can find the links to all the podcasts on our primary website, recapkickback.com. Mari and I, on our first episode, talked about our top 5 black biopics. We ranked them. We surveyed the audience. We ranked them. It was a good time. And we got a new top 5 coming up this week with our special guest, the baby boy himself, Bryce Isaiah. And so that will be a good time. Also, Puya and I will be talking on Recap Kickback. For the people who haven't heard in a while, you know, Puya and I used to talk about Bel-Air on Post-Show Recap. Bel-Air has been on hiatus for a while, but I miss talking to my boy. So we're going to talk about the premiere of Mr. and Mrs. Smith starring Donald Glover on Amazon Prime Video. So check that out, and then check out the podcast whenever that is released. Sasha and I will still be talking about Below Deck on RHAP every week. So with this new season of Below Deck proper starting, there will be more coverage on our YouTube channel and on the Below Deck RHAP Bravo Rehap-Ups feed. So check that out. Rob and I are still doing nothing but Netflix as well. We talked about The Trust. We've interviewed the contestants from The Trust, and now we're taking a week off to regroup and to come back talking about more Netflix shows. So check that out and subscribe to Nothing But Netflix for more of that content. Finally, Gia Worthy and I will be on post-show recaps talking about Abbott Elementary as the new season. The Emmy Award-winning Abbott Elementary is back. Gia and I will be back as well. So check that out on post-show recaps and subscribe to the Abbott Elementary podcast feed. Abbott Elementary post-show recap podcast feed, wherever you get your podcast. And then, of course, follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show and follow at Recap Kickback on all platforms.
Boom. And that's it. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. That's it. All right, perfect.
Yeah, my plugs are long now. Yeah, this is the first time they've ever been this long, you know?
They've been long. They're getting longer. But that's a good sign of a busy and good podcaster. So kudos to you. Of course, y'all can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. That's where I am when I'm not podcasting, so come through to that. Other than that, right now, with being in the off season for Big Brother and Masked Singer and Survivor, the only other place you can find me right now is Traders. I've been talking a lot of Traders on the Traders Wrap Up. Traders UK has just wrapped up. Myself and Annabelle finished talking about that this past week. So if you're catching up or you want to hear our thoughts on that season, which was a lovely one, you can check those out. And then, of course, myself and Rob have been not only doing recaps live every Thursday night after the episodes on YouTube, but also we've been conducting exit interviews as of last week, and we've introduced a feedback show where we take your questions about the latest episode of Traders, and also we've been bringing on a guest this week. We'll be joined by Wes from The Challenge, so I'm very excited about that. Should be a good time, but for now, we have arrived at the destination here on the Hot Mess Express. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. I'll be back very shortly. I believe on Monday or Tuesday, I'll be recording with Kirsten McInnes for this next episode. And just a reminder, after that episode, we will be gone for a week, but that's because the Super Bowl is on Sunday, and TLC said we do not want to battle them in the ratings. We're just going to skip a week. So after that, we'll be back in 2 weeks, but fear not. There'll be one more episode coming your way real soon. But for now, take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Peace. How many days are you gonna wait before you tie the knot?